Warning. ProTri News is a podcast with different opinions, knowledge and possibly fake news about triathlon racing. This is not for the faint of heart. If you get offended by what is said, please stop listening and go listen to some uplifting meditation music or just go work out and try again. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and some stories may be dramatized for comedic effect. Enjoy.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of ProTri News. I'm sure you missed my voice last week, but I am back. I'm your host, Kyle Glass. I'm joined by the usual suspects, Talbot Cox, Pat Lemieux, Mark Matthews. Thank you, boys, for keeping the fort down while I was incapacitated last week with incapacitated. I don't know. Every time I try and use big words, it kind of messes it up. So I was busy with work stuff, and I appreciate you guys kind of taking on the show. And it was one of our top three most listened to episodes of all time. So good job, boys.
I think it was our biggest show because we didn't talk about ourselves for the first 10 minutes. So with that being said, let's just dive into it.
Let's dive into the racing that happened this weekend. The first race of the weekend was Challenge Gran Canaria, where you had kind of some, I would say some unknowns that won the race. You had a Polish athlete, Marta Langowick, who won the race on the women's side. And Mark, I don't even know how to say this name. Have you seen this name before?
In the men's race?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Istvan Harrit?
Yeah, perfect. Let's just go with Harrit. Yeah, in the women's side, Marta Lagovink is a very, very good runner. She got herself to the front of the race. What I've heard about this race mostly is just a bit of a cluster. It's a many loop course, really narrow. Age group has set off 2 minutes behind the pro women. I've just heard it's a huge cluster. So she won the race. Rebecca Robish in second and Leona Konkazala in third from Germany. And the men's side, Harrit won from the UK. He's a short course athlete. Looks like he's got a promising future in the long distance stuff. Christian Hogenhauer, he's not really a 70.3 athlete. Super good. Came second, having put down a monster bike split. Watts for days. And Spanish athlete Ramos in third. That was Challenge Gran Canaria.
And then moving over to Asia Pacific, 70.3 Cebu over in the Philippines. On the women's side, you had some athletes that did the T100 race in Singapore come over and do the 70.3 race. You had Lucy Burham, who ended up DNFing with a cramp. And then taking the win, you had Els Visser, second place Ann Reichman, and then third place short course athlete Zanette Bragmeier. And then on the men's side, you had Henry Schumann win the race. Second place, Sam Osborne, who's been on a tear lately and seems to have finally figured out the transition from Xterra to 70.3. And then third place, you had Tom Bishop.
I mean, either this was a long run course or it was hot.
I mean, the times are pretty brutal. I mean, Henry finished the run 4 minutes faster than Ant. So that if that's any evident for you, then
yeah, very hot. And then today we had, go on. Talbot.
Oh, I was just going to move on. These are all boring. Yeah. I'm yawning while I'm talking about them.
Well, don't be a dickhead. So it's today we had 70.3 Valencia, huge field, absolute monster field. The women's race was quite exciting throughout the day. Laura Madsen out of Denmark, super solid all day. She led on the bike and she held on the run to take the win. Lena Meisner, a German athlete, again, another solid performance. Took second place. Caroline Pohl, who's kind of really consistent, fastest swim, saw her right near the front of the race. She took third. The surprise there, Laura Phillip, fourth. A good 4 minutes back on the leader. That's interesting way to start what is a campaign of, is it 11 or 10 races, one every 3 weeks for the next 4 or 5 months? So probably not where she wants to be. She lost a lot of time in the swim and then actually lost time on the bike as well. Interesting. In the men's, Léa Bergère is very good at triathlon, is what you take away from that. There are 75 men. Léa Bergère gets out the swim, front swim group, handful of them there, and just rides away. And I mean, just spits them instantly. He had the fastest spike split of the day by looks like almost 3 minutes. Banged in a casual 1:10:27 run to take the win by 3 minutes. Like, the boy is very, very good. And a lovely bloke. Jan Stratmann, also coached by Bjorn Giesemann's Cats coach. He came in second. Really good biker. Very good runner. Second fastest run of the day. Well, actually, there's a couple of 109s from the front. And he came second in what looked like a sprint finish with Yannick Schaufler. take third. That was 70.3 Valencia.
I'll mention one more thing. Lena Meisner, the women's race that got second place, she was one of the strong German contingents that's not going to be on the Olympic team. So obviously she started to make the jump over to kind of middle distance and test the waters a little bit.
Well, she's back to her 70.3 world qualification. Yeah.
And can we hit real quick? We thought that the Oceanside field was big. I think 70 guys, 80 guys started this race.
Yeah.
80 guys started this race.
And it was that a pontoon start with no spots. So it wasn't like you selected spots either. It was a pontoon start where you just bimbled up, tried to get a spot, and then dive in. And I'd have just drowned probably straight away.
Yeah, it's cool. It shows you, really signals to me the health of the sport and the, you know, the competitive landscape into, you know, how deep it's trying to go, right? So when I see 80 men on a start list, I think this is pretty great.
And, you know, to give it some perspective, there's a guy running 115 flat, which used to be quite good 6 years ago. He finished 65th. You know, like, this, it's a big sport now.
Jeez Louise.
Crazy.
Moving on to the race that's happening right now, you have Ironman South Africa. Just finished the men's race. Rasmus Svenningsen won.
Ooh, he held off Cam Wirth, did he?
Yeah, they battled back and forth multiple times. And then Mathias Pedersen, second place. Cam Wirth, third place. So he's got a slot for Kona, which I'm sure was his number one goal. Obviously, he would have loved to win. But you also have Leonard Arnold and then Bart Arnault rounding out your top five.
The women's race has a pretty big surprise, doesn't it? Daniela Reif is clearly not having a good day. She got dropped fairly convincingly on the bike by people that you would just never believe. She's currently running 14 minutes back through 22K. Didi Dedrickx is looking good for the run, but she's actually in a pretty hot battle with the early leader of the day, Marta Sanchez, who raced T100 Miami, who had actually four wins last year. So Marta's having a bit of a boom at the moment. There's a pretty healthy gap back to Boer in third. So I'm going to predict, so it's a bit early to risk predicting for an Ironman, but Dedrickx and Sanchez.
Yeah, and then Danielle Blethmile as well up there in the front.
And just to be clear, though, Daniela just needed to finish this race to validate her spot, or she has to requalify for Kona?
Validate.
Nice.
Validate. Sorry. Him for Nice.
So and so she just has to finish.
Yeah.
Oh, Reif. Sorry, I thought you were talking about Blethmile for a minute. Blethmile's winning Dedrickx and Sanchez. It's actually a really quite tight battle between those three for the win here. So hop on the tracker and have a watch for that.
Yep. But Reif just has to finish.
Yeah, correct.
That is correct.
Okay. But Reef doesn't turn up at a race just to finish. Though I saw she's been at some family weddings and doing a lot of work with her charity projects. She seems like she's enjoying life.
I know we agreed to not talk about short course racing, but there was a race in Wollongong this weekend, a World Cup. And got to give a shout out to Jamie Riddle. He got his qualification for South Africa for the Olympics a couple weeks ago and then has now got his first World Cup podium.
Second place there for him. Yeah. Luke Willem.
And then the women's race was super exciting if you guys didn't watch it. I mean, you can go watch the rerun on Triathlon Live, but there was a 6-way sprint finish for the win on the women's side and had Tilde Manson take the dub. So,
yep. And that'll be the venue that they use for the grand final in 2025.
Oh, really?
Yep. So I lived there for 5 years in the winter. So that'll be fun to return to. And Australia, that was Wollongong is where they did the UCI Road World Championships a few years ago as well. So the city is putting a lot of funding and effort into endurance sport, which is really great to see.
Pat, is that you dropping a little bomb that your wife's going to stay in triathlon past this Olympic cycle?
Well, you're going all the way to LA, bro.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, about? She's having more fun than she's ever had in the sport. So yeah, I don't see her quitting anytime soon.
All right.
And people don't realize how good Pat is at supporting this pro sport. Like, I have to cook way more at home since we came to stay with Pat. Like, he bangs out 3 chef style meals a day, does daddy daycare. Like, he is absolutely loving being a housewife, and that's why he's keeping Gwen in the sport. But it has meant that I have to pull my weight a lot more. No thanks to Pat.
Bear with us for a brief break.
Here's the reality. When I travel, I've been to all these crazy places. Last year alone, I went to Mexico, New Zealand, Japan, Italy, Czech Republic, you name it. But the reality is when you're traveling globally, you can get sick. So yes, it's uncomfortable. I've thrown up. I've had traveler's diarrhea. I've needed a help with an inhaler. These things happen when you travel. The problem is that where am I going to get these meds and how do I know what I'm getting if I, you know, I've got a situation where I've got to go to the toilet all the time. Luckily, when I've been traveling, what I have is I always have a little emergency pack with me. So I've got some high powered ibuprofens in case I get hurt. I've got the, you know, anti-diarrhea medication. Same thing with if I'm vomiting. These are things that I bring. And in the past, it's been, you know, a little bit of, I got to jump through some hoops. I got to go to my doctor. I got to say, hey, I'm traveling. This is what I have going on. TeleRx has created this solution that makes it so easy to get some of these medications that you may have to consult with your GP about. Now I can just talk to a doctor from the comfort of my home and computer. So for instance, we're in Miami right now for the PTO race. I ordered these meds on Tuesday. They're at my door. I brought them here. So if, you know, Kyle, for some reason, if I get sick today, I've got everything with me that I'll need to feel better. So best thing that you can do is go to telerx.com, check out what services you may have. They've got a ton of other stuff on there that I highly would recommend you check out and get to know. And if you're interested in purchasing something, please use code all caps PTN at checkout. For Kyle, we're not doing these dinky 5% off, 10% off. No, this is 20% off here.
Yeah.
So yeah, check it out. Let us know what you think.
Let's get into the marquee event for the weekend. Ironman Texas. Mark, you're heading down there?
Yeah. We fly on Tuesday, so made it basically. That's the feel for this one.
How's the defending champ feeling?
Well, we all know it's not been the smoothest of runs into an Ironman. She had a grade 2 calf tear with a bit of tendon involvement back in T100 Miami, which is about 8 weeks ago, come the day of the race, I think. So performing another sort of miracle turnaround of recovery. Luckily for Kat, she's a hella good runner. So the extremely, extremely low run volume she'd have had over the last 8 weeks may have less of an impact on her than it might some athletes, but that's kind of just testament. So yes, we're off to the Texas. We love it. Obviously, Kat won't ride on the roads there for fairly apparent reasons, but we are at the same house day. Love the event. The atmosphere on the course is great. The people are great. The bike course is a bit rubbish, but I don't have to do it. So, you know.
Dude, I remember the old bike course was just incredible. It went through this state park. It was beautiful. And then, unfortunately, this race got the old, Ironman kibosh or the city kibosh, and they moved it to the toll road. So.
Yeah, and just bouncing up and down the toll road.
Have you started looking at the weather report yet, Mark?
Yeah, it's hot and humid, but potentially a bit overcast, a little bit stormy, but it could be 30 degrees and 65% humidity. So that's hot, really, really hot. The humidity you get in the woodlands, which is obviously, as we saw in the Singapore race, that's the oppressing factor. It could be tough on the run. And it's not that shaded because most of the run course, though it is... The paths are shaded. It's actually pulled onto the roads mostly, so it's pretty exposed as well.
Yep. Let's go ahead
and dive into the women's race and how we see it playing out. As far as the swim,
so we haven't done this for a bit, have we? We haven't actually done, like, how do we think the race will pan out? And
yeah,
we've got a few people saying, please do that more. Mainly, we just got it really wrong, but let's go for it anyway.
I'm going to go for it. You ready? So you're going to have a front swim group of probably 5 to 6 women, which includes Fenella, Lauren Brandon, Beck Clark, Hannah Berry, and Lottie Wilms. Maybe Penny Slater will probably also be up there. So let's say 6 athletes. They're going to be up on the front of the road. Kat's going to come out of the water. What do you think? 3-4 minutes back?
She won't swim as badly as she did in Texas last year. She's actually swimming really well. I'll disagree. I think Rebecca Clark and Lauren Brandon go together, and I think the rest of them behind her. I wouldn't count out Jocelyn McCauley for a good swim either. I think Kat's dream situation gets out with Jocelyn a few minutes back.
And then the chasers will include Maya Stage Nielsen, your wife, Kat, Maybe Kylie Simpson. Rachel Olsen will be kind of up there. It just depends on how her swim goes, where she comes out of the water, and then where she gets on the bike. And then they're going to get off the bike. I would say Fenella, your wife, maybe together, head-to-head for 42 kilometers, sprint finish for the win.
Let's just, yeah, and I think, Kyle, I think that that was great. let's reflect on last year's race, though, and remember that Kat had a, I would say, I mean, is it fair to say, Mark, she really kind of struggled on the bike and was underbiking her capacity, and we were kind of like, wow, we don't really know what's going on. This is kind of weird. And then it wasn't really until, I think it was Maya Stage-Nielsen really fell apart at about 25K that we were like, oh, okay, this is just going to turn the other way now. And Kat is essentially gets to, you know, jog these last 10K. But it that took a while to happen. And you just have to really remember how long and arduous an Ironman is, and like what's indicative of that 180K on the bike. Like you still got to come off and you got to put your run shoes on, and then you got to run 42 kilometers.
Yeah, I think this is one of those courses where we're reminded that actually flat courses can be harder than hilly courses because you're just on the power the whole time. I mean, Kat basically didn't leave zone 2 heart rate on the bike last year. It was really soon after the crash. It was one of her sort of comeback races. I think this year she won't want to risk that. I think she kind of just knew that it would still be okay last year, but with the calf injury and not wanting to have to run a 2:46 or something, whether she could do that or not on this fitness is now a question. So I think you'll see some of these athletes being a bit more punchy on the bike. Does it give inspiration to some others and confidence to some other athletes? Like, because, you know, on paper, Ironman times, Kat's the big favorite here. But does it open the door to Fenella to go hard? You know, Lauren Brandon's been riding brilliantly recently.
Alice Alberts has won 2 races since Ironman Texas last year. So, I mean, you have athletes like that as well.
As well as, you know, the likes of Kylie Simpson, who is not a good swimmer. She needs to ride up the field too. I think you're right. I think we'll see a running race. Kat's just walked in the room. She's eavesdropping. But if they start the run together and it comes to a sprint finish, Kyle, someone has ran an all-time PB by a long way, I would still fathom.
But it's important to understand that given the course, given the realistic demands of the heat, it's going to be sticking to your strategy. And this is really a rehearsal for how you would race something like a Kona, where it's just like it's personal discipline here that gets you to perform versus you can undo your lead can come undone in 12K faster than the, you know, so fast compared to the lead that you built up. So it's, I think if we're talking about the heat here and just how hard it's going to be, it's, we're going to see some people fall apart that last 15K like we did last year.
Yeah, there'll be some massive crumbles just because the heat hits you and that constant load from the bike. I will say the one thing that may affect the women's race is what we're going to come on to talk to, the absolute size of the men's field and the varied strength. There are several athletes in this men's field that Talbot would have a good job at racing. There are some pros in this men's pro field that they've never broke 9:30. And they're gonna get caught by those lead women. But what we know about men is men have a massive, massive advantage on the bike, just weight and power. They can all these pro men, and they are poorer pro men, they can still ride 4:30s, 4:25s, 4:20s, which is in that realm where it really, really impacts the women because they're getting out the swim with the women. They're good riders compared to the women, but they're not Cam Worth dropping them straight away. So what I really hope we see is some of the slower men recognizing what's around them. If you've got a train of women sat on your wheel, you need to push on or you need to sit up. And the women need to play the game as well. You know, it's just not sportsmanly to sit 10 meters back on a pro man. It's just that's not the race. And hopefully the referees do a bit of flagging. They can be a bit discretionary, mix things up a little bit.
Sorry, give some insight into how important this race is from, you know, this is a got a ton of prize money there. Give us also some insight into how many niece spots are available for the women and what we think that that will roll down. I mean,
I'm not. I think it's six, isn't it?
How many do we think are already KQ'd, and where? What do we think that that will look like?
Yeah, no, I'd love you to give me a heads up on this next time. But Fenella Language has got a KQ, Lottie Worms has got a KQ, and Alice Alberts has got a KQ. Yeah. Can you see all of them in the top six? Absolutely. So straight away, you could see ninth place taking a qualification there, which is a lot.
You don't need you just proved you don't need a heads up, Mark.
That's because I've got good old Thorsten's website on the other screen. Thank you, Thorsten. I know you listen. In the men's, even more so. And we'll come on to some names in a minute. But you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 men have already got KQ, and there's 6 slots available.
Yeah, but what that does, the second order effect of that is that you've got people fighting for minor places, right? You're going to have a woman that's, you know, fighting for 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th place because she knows that that is the Nice qualification. Absolutely. And so you're going to see great battles all the way through because there's an incentive in place.
Yeah. And this event's televised fully. We really enjoyed the Ironman. It was eclipsed by Singapore, but the Oceanside television coverage was excellent. So we'll hope for some more of that. And like you said, the prize money for winning this is actually more prize money than winning a T100 race. Of course, the contracts and the points add up, but this is part of the Ironman series. The winner of this race, that I know it's in a hot take, but will be sitting very, very pretty. So let's roll the men's race quickly. You've got Patrick Langer is the favorite for the race, even after a bit of a poor Oceanside. I hate his name. Robert Wilkowiecki, Matthew Marquardt, Clement Mignon, Joe Skipper, Mina Coolhouse, Braden Currie, Matt Hansen, Florian Anger, Chris Leifman, Dylan Magnon from France. Then there's more. There's Jason Pohl. There's Nick Thompson. David Plezzo's there. It's a really, really big men's field. It doesn't have as many superstars as people want to watch, but that is going to be an awesome race. And the way that plays out, Kyle will take us through now.
You ready for it? All right. We'll probably have what we had last year, strong men's front group with Robert Wilkowiecki, Matt Marquardt, Braden Curry, Menno Coolhaas will probably be there as well.
I think Patrick Langer makes it. I'm throwing that.
Andrew Horsfold Turner probably makes it 5. I didn't see
it. Yeah, and there's maybe one or two other random swimmers we don't know, but there'll be a front group for sure.
Yeah. So they'll probably get away on the bike, start laying down some massive power. Wouldn't be surprised if Braden Curry goes kind of off the front and drops those boys.
I'd be surprised if Matthew Marquardt lets him do that.
He's the only person who I think could go with him. So
yeah,
we'll see how that race will play out on the bike. And then as far as the run, you'll have the chasers of Patrick Lang, maybe Joe Skipper, Matt Hansen, Chris Leiferman, those four.
Yeah, never count out Chris Leiferman. He'll ride up a bit and runs really well in the heat.
Yeah, I could easily see those four kind of like trying to bring it up. The interesting thing that I'm most excited about is Thomas Rodriguez, who has done well at 70.3 racing. He's making his Ironman quote unquote debut. He can run really, really well and races really, really well in the heat. He lives at like 8,000 feet in Mexico. So yeah. That's a name that I'm probably most excited to see how he goes this weekend.
What do we think? I mean, after being in Oceanside and seeing, you know, we got to see Braden Curry, Joe Skipper, Chris Leiferman, Patrick Lang. It's really hard for me to not see a world where Braden Curry has a big win here. I just do not like to bet against Patrick Lang. And I'm thinking about his performance that he had in Nice last year. He looked bad on the day in Oceanside, but thinking about, I can't see a world where Patrick Lang doesn't run away with this in the last 10K. But that's what's, you know, really on my mind.
Yeah, I think there's probably only maybe one athlete in the world that can run with Patrick Langer. Who's the French runner?
Denis Chevreau.
Yeah, Denis Chevreau would try and run with Patrick Langer. I think everyone else would struggle. If he has to, and he can run a 2:30 sub 2:30, which has never been done. It's just how much of a gap he has, if any. If he has a flashback to Tulsa style race, and he's just at the front on one of these slightly lower tier fields, he's unbeatable. But there are people that will make it very, very hard for him. I'm going to pick Patrick Lang for the win. He's won here before. It's one of the few places he's won Ironman outside of Kona. He knows the place very well. He's there now. I think Matthew Marquardt could podium again. And I think Braden Curie. I'm intrigued to see what Joe Skipper does. Because actually, Joe Skipper's 70.3 result in Oceanside was pretty good for Joe over a 70.3. And so was Chris Leifman.
Yeah, I agree.
So we have some picks. Do you want to do picks for this?
Yeah. I'll go for the win. I'm going to go...
Men and women.
Matt Marquardt. I'm going to go for the win. Second place, I'm going to go Menno Kuhlhaas. He raced super well at European Long Course Champs, and speaking with him, he was highly motivated after the T100 race in Miami, and his dream is to race in Kona, so I could see him doing well. Third place, rounding out the podium, I will go with Patrick Lang. I think the deficit may be a little too steep to overcome on the bike, and I think that he's going to round out the podium.
Who did you do women's picks, Kyle?
No, we haven't done women's yet. We'll go back to do those.
Okay. I'm going to go men. I've got, boy, just because Bjorn's staying at my house, I feel like I got to pick Patrick Lang for the win. I'm going to go Braden Curie second. And I'm going to say, you know, Joe Skipper looked great in Oceanside. I'm going to say Joe Skipper third.
Yeah, I said mine already. I got Langer, Marquardt, Curie, but I also think Joe Skipper could actually have a really good race here, and I hope he does. On to the women, Kyle. Who's gonna win podium?
I think your wife's gonna defend her win from last year. Go first place again here. Second place, I think it's gonna be Fenella. That massive run battle all the way to the end is just gonna be incredible. And then third place, we're gonna go. I'll go Danielle Lewis for third.
Yeah, because Danielle Lewis had a good bike run combo in Oceanside.
Yeah.
She has quite a serious swim deficit to overcome, and I wonder if the group goes too far for her. But that's not daft. I'm intrigued that people are betting on Kat coming back from a tart calf tear. I think anyone else, you probably wouldn't bet on them. But
that's why it's going to be a run battle to the end.
Well, I'm just going to bet on Kat as well, to be honest, because I feel good about it.
Yeah.
I'll
complete the Cat trifecta here. I'm not saying it's going to be the most beautiful of wins. I think it's going to be very gritty, and Cat's going to go through a couple dark zones to get this done, but it will get done. I'm going to go Danielle Lewis for second place.
Yeah, I quite like that.
And then I'm going to say Fenella Langridge for third. But I think, again, Danielle Lewis coming off some great form, frankly. And, you know, in an Ironman, you've got time and space to make up for a bad swim. So that's what I think. Like, it's just going to be that.
Yeah. I tend to agree. I wonder how I just filtered it by run times, and Kylie Simpson is really highly rated on the bike and the run. Her predicted swim time, according to Thorsten, there is a 1:12. I can't see that coming back. I'll take Maya Stage Nielsen for third. I'm going to go Danielle Lewis for second as well.
Nice.
I love doing picks, guys. Come on. I love we got to go back to how the race is going to play out. Cause I do like that as well.
Yeah.
Paints a picture come race day.
Exactly.
I think the main thing we got wrong of how the race is going to go is I think Lauren Brandon's going to absolutely rip the start of the swim. I think Rebecca Clark goes with her, but then I think it splits. So I think that front eight will be much more split than we expect. Mm.
And the big thing is you can watch the race this weekend. We're going to be able to watch all day, plan.
This one I think is on Outside and YouTube, I'm pretty sure. So then we may get less commercials if we watch it on YouTube. So moving on to the other race for this weekend. We don't cover short course, non-draft Olympic distance races very often. And that's because there's not that many left anymore. So if you are wanting to put some more of those on, we would be more than happy to. But you will not touch St. Anthony's, giving away over $50,000 prize purse for an Olympic distance race. that's a good ROI right there on time. So race for about 2 hours. First place, you get 10 grand. So as we look into this race, St. Anthony Triathlon, unfortunately, it's not going to be televised, but they do give a $500 premium for fastest swim, fastest bike, fastest run. And they're giving away a crap ton of money. As far as the women's race, you got Lisa Bacaris moving on down, Megan Foley moving on down, Amy Simerman. A lot of these people are all short course athletes kind of coming up to long course. You got Carolyn McCarthy, who was Waterfall Banks Pro Project athlete from last year. On the men's side, it is stacked. You got Nicholas Quinette, who's a short course athlete from South Africa. He'll lead out the swim pretty hard. Matt Schaefer, Mark Dubrick, scrolling on down. You got Eric Lagerstrom, Chase McQueen, Greg Harper. I mean, this swim group is insane. Matt Sharp, Michael Arashita, and then you also have Jason West. So this race will be hot and heavy from the beginning, from the go. And so looking at this, you only see one athlete that's won a world title, and that's Chase McQueen. So
shut up, Kyle. Shut, honestly.
I just built that beautiful crescendo, and then I just dropped the massive bomb on you guys for my boy.
Yeah, this is going to be a great chance to see a heads up race between Mark Dubrick and Jason West. And so on the men's side, and I don't think what we've seen is a Jason West that we thought we were going to see in 2024 so far. And so this is a chance for him to give a reminder to everyone that he's still at the pointy end. And I think this will see, you know, this is a Mark Dubrick is going to try and make this a leapfrog moment and want to be the top dog here in the US. So I think this will be a fun one to follow. You know, obviously we're just going to have to see results at the end of it. But a very cool race that does have, you know, some notoriety and some prestige to if you win it. So yeah, let's see what happens.
You want to do picks, Pat? You love doing
picks. No, not for this race. Sorry.
You're picking the world champ, Chase McQueen, right?
No. It's going to be Mark Dubrick or Jason West, but that's as much as you're going to get picks from me. We've got some hot takes here.
You ready? I'm gonna lead us out because I want to see if someone wants to debate with me on this. Whoever wins Ironman Texas on the men's side will win the Ironman Pro Series.
See, I would have thought this at the start of the year, but when Mark kind of broke it down on what it would look like for somebody like Lionel to win the Ironman series doing two fulls, I started to think of that as a real possibility, not only for somebody like Lionel, but for somebody else to come in and say, hey, look, I'm going to be able to win Kona. I'm going to win the Ironman that I used to qualify. And I think that that's going to be enough. And I think that what we probably underestimated with the points is how quickly you lose points off of the 5,000 from an Ironman based on your time deficit.
And yeah, 1 point a second, just to remind our listeners.
And so you could have somebody this weekend, like a Patrick Lang, say he's on one, he wins. He could win by double digit margin if it's hot.
Yeah, he could win by a lot, yeah.
And so then all of a sudden you've got second, third, fourth that really don't put up that great of a score. And so I'm starting to buy into the fact that you could just do two Ironmans and have a real shot at having an impact on the series.
But you have to do 70.3 worlds and do well at it in order to just do two Ironmans. That is the outlier.
Yeah, which then makes it, but so for someone like Lionel, who is good at 70.3, that then becomes in.
Yeah, and so then I think, too, the other piece is that let's use Hayden Wilder or Leo Berger, for example, that go to 70.3 worlds. The points that they score, or the way that they impact and increase the overall speed of the race, I still think somebody like Lionel could play with them at the end. But the guys, the backstops, the deficit's going to be even greater. And so say that Lionel doesn't win 70.3 worlds, but he gets second or third, he's still going to get a ton of points. But then that drop for fourth to 10th is going to be a larger separation. And so, and then the guys that get first or second in this case, they're not scoring towards the total. So I start to see a world where there's, you're not going to know till the end, but I do see where the Ironman series champ can win it with just doing two Ironmans.
I also think it like could Patrick Langer finish more than 8 minutes behind at 70.3 worlds against Hayden Wild? Yeah, absolutely. Like, absolutely, definitely. So, and he did not score well at Oceanside. So he, in my mind, he needs to go and do two more 70.3s somewhere else and not do 70.3 worlds. But that just compresses his season even more when he has Roth in there as well. It's a lot.
Yep. So I just,
I think
Patrick Lang is Patrick Lang is the favorite for this. And the problem is because it's 5,000 to win Ironman Texas, you're going to be so far in front of the points that the people from Oceanside have. But like the points that were scored in Oceanside, whether you scored very well or very poorly, will impact and play as the season goes on.
Yeah. Mm. But I do think whoever wins the women's will win it, because I don't see a lot of good women doing any of the other series race Ironman races. None of the big hitters, good women. None of those that need to take on Fenella, Kat,
except
I just think there's less competition in the women's side. You know, Lucy's not doing it. Kelsey's not going to do another Ironman. Like, it's, I think the women's is this could be it. Yeah,
maybe potentially, but I think that these early season races will have so much of a bearing on the rest of the season. And I don't think that you'll see, like, let's say Braden Curry wins this race and he got sixth at 70.3 Oceanside. This is an athlete that doesn't do well really at 70.3s, if we're 100% honest. Hmm. And he will have an Ironman win and a sixth place at a good 70.3. So now all he has to do is one more good-ish 70.3, go do Ironman Cairns, win that again, and then do well in Kona, and then job done.
Yeah,
he's got the Ironman series.
Yeah, Bradaker is looking good right now.
So, any other hot takes that you guys have? This is the only one that I had written down. So, anything on your guys' mind this week?
No, we've got a podcast covering off our bit on a bit about registered testing pool, which you'll see come out on Monday. So, you know, head over to that to enjoy that show and a bit of an insight there. Other hot takes now? I've got nothing. Kind of a peaceful week in triathlon.
We do want to give a big congratulations to Sean and Holly Lawrence. Obviously, they're expecting baby. So Holly is walking off into the sunset after her third place at T100 Miami and going to be a mom. So super, super exciting for her and Sean. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate each and every week you guys come in here to get your one-stop shop for all things triathlon and professional triathlon related. If you could do anything for us, it would be to give us 5 stars on a review on whichever platform you use to listen, and then sharing this with someone that you know and love. We appreciate you, and we'll see you again next week.